You know, when I ask the Lord in my personal time with Him, when I ask the Lord to, and I often do this, in fact, I do it every day, when I ask the Lord to help me to grow in my relationship with Him, that my relationship with Him would become more precious to me, that it would become more real to me, with that, that He would become greater in my heart day by day. When I'm asking Him to do that, I'm not asking Him to cast a spell. I'm asking Him simply to open my eyes. Just open my eyes to see who You are. You don't have to do anything special, Lord. You don't have to do any tricks for me. All You have to do is touch my eyes and let me see the wonders of who You are, of who You are and who You're being every day of my life, and the wonders that surround me, the wonders about which the Scripture says the earth is filled with the glory of the Lord. So all I'm asking You to do, Lord, is not do something special. Just open my eyes so I can see how special You are. And help me to see the special things You are doing around me. I want You to attune me to Your love. Let me tune into the frequency of Your love, of Your kindness towards me, and Your provision for me, as Grace was sharing. I'm asking, as Paul asked for the Ephesians in chapter 1, that the eyes of my heart may be enlightened so that I may see the glories of the riches of Christ Jesus. And I pray that for all of us. I pray that for you. I don't just pray that for me. I include all of us in that prayer. Lord, help us all. Help us all to have our eyes enlightened to see who You are and who we are to You and the wonders that You are doing around us. You do that, Lord. We can't see it unless You open our eyes. We can't make ourselves see. If we see it, we've been blessed to see it, not because we made ourselves see it. So I pray that You would do that. And I pray that He does that as we consider this month's theme on the church, because His glories and His wonders are all over this thing called the church, of which we are a part. And so I'm praying that as I share with you this morning another aspect of this whole thing about the church, that you would hear it not just in a cerebral way, but that the Lord would open the eyes of your heart and open the eyes of my heart so that we can see it with spiritual eyes and be enriched within because of the truth that He has given us about this thing called the church. We have two text verses this morning that I want us to consider. And I'm sharing both of these text verses because I think of them as siblings. So I'd like you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And you've heard me share this verse so many times that you could probably tell me exactly where I'm going right now when I say Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 16. And then what I want you to do is hold your finger there or put a little piece of paper there and flip through your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. So we're looking at Ephesians 4, 16, and then flipping to 1 Peter 4, 10. I'll give you a moment to do that, and then we're going to read the texts. Ephesians 4, 16. From Him, from Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Are you listening, each part? Not somebody else's part. Each part does its work. That means all of y'all. It means each one of you. Okay? 1 Peter 4:10. Here's that each word again. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Now, I can't talk about the life of the church without looking at these two verses, without looking at these classic passages. And I keep going back to them because I can't envision talking about the church without these two passages any more than I can envision a picnic without fried chicken. They go together. They're inseparable. It's no picnic if there's no fried chicken. No salads. It's got to be fried chicken. So I look at these two passages and they are absolutely critical to understanding the miracle of this thing called the church. Ephesians 4:16, going back to that, it says, from him the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I see several things in here. It says, here are the promises. Here are the promises. Joined and held together. That's a picture of the unity and the harmony of the church. It says it grows and builds the health of the body is what growing and building is about. Strong bones and muscles. It says the body grows, it grows and builds itself. And it's not necessarily talking about a growing membership, although that's a part of it. It's talking about growing members. Members growing in their faith, growing deeper in their knowledge or understanding, their tangible experience of the living Christ. And then it says it builds itself up in love. And that's talking about the spirit of the church, the spirit of the body, the attitude of members towards each other's. Because you know, you can have an impressive ministry or ministries, but it's nothing if you don't have what? If you don't have love. So you got these blessings here, the unity and harmony of the body, the health of the body, the spirit of the body, and all of this takes place as each part does its work. That's how it happens. It doesn't happen because Michael Yakey is so generous with his love exclusively. No one person is making this happen. No one person can make this happen. It's not happening because Pastor Dan Beatty gives a sermon every Sunday. It happens as each part does its work. That's how it happens. That's the active ingredient. Each part. Each part means you, Sister Hat. Each part means you, Tamika. And I could go on and on, but I won't. I'm going to keep going. So these things happen as each part does its work. Did I give you the message title today? Here it is. God's special delivery to his people. God's special delivery to his people. And I do have a main idea that's coming. But today's message is God's special delivery to his people. And as I said, these blessings in Ephesians 4:16 happen as each part does its work. It's God's special delivery through you. that makes this happen. 1 Peter 4:10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Or I like how it is worded in the New American Standard. It says, as each one has received a special gift, use it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God has made you a steward of his grace. And he wants you to serve others with that expression of grace. It's not just about your specific gift, the gift of administration or the gift of helps or the list of gifts. It has to do with your God-given effect. As the Holy Spirit has entered your life, it certainly includes your gifts, but it's your personality, it's your talents, it's all of the things that you are that God has sanctified through the Holy Spirit for his use. So it's not a narrow definition, it's an expression of the you effect, if you will. It's all of who you are and all of who God is making you. He wants you to be a good steward of the grace that he has placed in that receptacle that's been sanctified, and he wants you to be a steward in terms of sharing it with others. It's not just for you. It's not just for you to feel great. It's for others to feel great as well as you. So 1 Peter 4 tells us that God's grace, it says the manifold grace of God, as I was referring to how it's interpreted in the New American Standard. God's grace has an infinite variety of flavors and manifestations, and you are one of them. You are one of them. Like Baskin Robbins. You're one of those flavors. Same ice cream, but different flavors. Same spirit, different flavors. And God wants us to enjoy all those flavors. Not just vanilla, not just chocolate. Although I am a big vanilla lover, vanilla is king. Vanilla and pound cake is where it's at. Old school. No swirls, none of this other stuff. Vanilla. But see, I'm partial. The other day, somebody gave me a different kind of strawberry, and I said, this ain't bad. Each one of us is a special flavor of his grace. There is no church like Valley Brook anywhere on the planet. You know why that is? Not because Valley Brook's better than any other church, but because no other church has the individual brothers and sisters like you anywhere on the planet. The reason why this is different than any other church is because no other church on the planet is made up of the individuals who make up Valley Brook. Each one of you is a unique flavor. There aren't two fast, delicious Abbots. There's only Deidre and Frank. And they ain't no place else. They're here. They're here. If the Lord placed you, let me say this. If the Lord placed it on your heart to be here, he wants your effect to be shared here as long as he has you here, because this place needs your effect. This place needs your effect. If the Holy Spirit has placed it on you to come the first time and then to come the second time and then to come, I think I'm gonna keep coming back. He has not just something for you he's got here. It's something for us. That's why he keeps bringing you back, not just to get. You're a steward of the grace that God has placed in you. And he keeps sending you here because we need it. You know, and I say as long as we're here. See, because we're all on loan from God. So none of us are going to be here forever. But while you are here, you know, things take us away. Life circumstances may take us away. Or the day may come when you no longer feel like this is a fit for where the Lord has you. That day may come. But while you are here, God wants you. He wants your effect to be expressed here. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. Do you hear me? Don't exempt you. Well, I'm done. You know you're not. If you're still here, you're not done. You're done when you're no longer here. Doesn't matter how young you are. If you can understand what I'm saying, that means you. During our elders meeting, I really appreciated Michael, Brother Yakey, sharing from his journal, his prayer before the Lord. And he was meditating and thanking the Lord that he said, my age does not affect my relationship with you. He's got a birthday coming up. He's going to be 25. And, you know, he's lamenting the fact that he's no longer 24. He said, my age does not affect my relationship with the Lord. And I like that. Not in a negative way. I mean, the Lord uses it, whether you're 25 or whether you're 74 or whether you're 12 or whether you're 80 or barely hanging in there at 99 or whatever. Your age does not change this verse. The Holy Spirit still lives in you. And if the Holy Spirit still lives in you, he still has work he wants to do through you. Don't judge it by its size. Don't judge it by its scope. Don't judge it by how many people are exposed to it. Judge it by the truth of God's word. Lord, you have me here. You have placed your grace in me in a unique way. And I want to be a good steward of that. What are you up to today? And how can I be a part of that? You've heard the phrase, be you. Or you've heard the phrase, you do you. And the idea behind it is freedom of expression, freedom to just be who you are. But from a biblical perspective, a more accurate phrase would be, you give you. Give you. It's not just about me finding self-actualization. It is about God placing his grace in me. And yes, I'm going to experience that because God is doing it. But it's not just so I can walk around feeling self-actualized. God has placed his grace in me to be a good steward of it. And to think about how to share that blessing with others. I remember in our couples group, Brian Davis sitting there talking about his relationship with his wife, and we were having a personal, it was a wonderful time. And he said, you know, sometimes you wonder your wife, you guys get in a disagreement or something, and I sometimes just think, oh, you don't want to be with all this? You don't want to be with all this? Sorry, Brian. But he got it right. You know, he is all that. He is all that. And you are all that, but not in an egotistical sense. It's really in the sense that God has made me all that. And he's made me all that because he wants me to share all that with you. That's what being a good steward of his grace is all about. So, give you. And here's your main idea. The subject is God's special delivery to his people. The title and the main idea is this. And this is what I want to leave you with, because you've heard that before, but maybe you haven't heard what I'm about to say. Here's what I want to say. You don't need permission to give you. You don't need anyone's permission to give you. Let me explain what I mean, that especially in the context of the church. The passages are referring to who you are in Christ. Who you are in Christ in general. Not who you are in Valley Brook. Not who you are in First Baptist. Not who you are in St. Paul's or any other church. It's who you are in Christ, regardless of whatever church you're in. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's what, when he talks about you being a good steward of the manifold grace of God, that grace is in you and it goes wherever you go. It's not confined to a particular place. That grace goes with you on your job. That grace goes with you to the grocery store. That grace goes with you to the auto mechanic. That grace goes to you when you visit grandma in Louisiana. That grace goes with you wherever you are. And you don't need permission to distribute that grace. It says nothing about once you become a ministry leader, give your grace. It doesn't say once you find a ministry to plug into, give your grace. Or even once you decide to become a member of a particular church. You may be a first-time visitor. It applies to you. On the contrary, what it says is you've been given directions and a directive by the Most High God to be a good steward of the grace that he's deposited in you. If you were on an island with one other person, no church, no nothing around, and you read that verse, that's what it's talking about. You're a good steward of God's grace in that place, on that desert island with that one other person. So you don't need permission. Now, what I mean by that is, of course, in any organization, you know, there are going to be protocols and there are operational procedures, or you'd have chaos if you didn't have that. You'd have chaos. You'd have the kind of chaos that Paul was speaking about in 1 Corinthians when he talked to the church there about everybody doing their own thing. He said, that's just chaos. Get it together. Stop that. Do things in order. Do things in a way that makes some sense. People don't think you're crazy. You know, get your act together. But that's talking about the way that the procedures and the protocols and the operational things. You know, you may be a wonderful singer. But when I say that you don't need permission, that doesn't mean you can just come up here and hop on the stage in the middle of Grace's song and say, let me join in with you, sister. Hey, I got another verse, or I got another song. And break out with his eyes on the sparrow. It's not what he's talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. And it doesn't mean that you get to force yourself on somebody else who doesn't want it. There may be people who say, I don't want that. But that should not stop you from being you. Because there are other people who need who you are. And that person may later on say, you know what? I don't know what I was thinking. You can respect the person's boundaries without restricting your givingness. You don't have to shut down just because someone does this. You don't need permission to be you. You don't need permission to encourage somebody with a compliment, no matter what organization you are in. You know, St. Paul, St. Lutheran, whatever. You're here today. You don't need the pastor's permission to give somebody a compliment, to encourage somebody. You're not breaking anybody's rules to tell somebody how their warm greeting lifted your spirit. You don't need permission for that. Are you a writer? I'm a writer. Maybe they won't put it in the bulletin. Maybe they won't print your piece and put it up on the bulletin board. But you aren't breaking any rules by sending somebody a text or writing an inspiring note to someone. You're using that stewardship that God has given you. You don't need permission to tune into the announcements like my wife was giving them and to see what opportunities there may be for you to participate in the life of the church. You know, the only members-only club we have here at Valley Brook is the one where we have our annual budget meeting and only members can vote for our budget. But I sometimes wish that all of you could be at our ministry leaders meetings. I wish you could just show up and just listen to how the members of your leaders talk to one another. The ministry leaders, the respect, the love, the affection, the humor, the substance, the skill, the talent. I wish you could hear what's going on there. You don't need permission to say to somebody on the hospitality team, mind if I stick around afterwards to help you all clean up? You don't need permission to call up on the Wednesday prayer call to pray for somebody or to give others the opportunity to pray for you. You don't need permission to give you. I repeat, if God has laid it on your heart to be here or wherever you are, you have a special delivery, God, a special delivery from God to deliver. Let us have it. Let us have it. Don't take it home and put it on your kitchen table. Let us have it. You know, how would you like it if the UPS man showed up at your house and came over to came over to Keith and said, okay, see you later, man. Took the package back. Give your delivery. And you have been, Valley Brook. You have been. We already have felt the impact of your giving, your special delivery. That's why we are who we are. That's what makes us who we are. That's why we like who we are. That's why we like being with all this. Because all of you are making your special delivery. I just want to exhort you to excel still more, as the scripture says, to be more intentional, to know what you're doing, to know why you're doing it. You say, okay, well, I'm new. You don't have to be passive. And I'm not just speaking about here at Valley Brook. I'm talking about wherever you go. You don't have to be passive and wait to be approached. You don't have to give that environment a litmus test and say, well, I'm going to see who comes and talks to me. You go into that church as a steward. If you're a believer, you've gone into that church as a steward of grace that God has given you. And you have an opportunity to go into that church. You've never been in it before and go in there and be a good steward and a blessing to those who are a part of that church, whether here or any place else. You don't need to be established to give you. In that, I don't know if that sounds freeing to you, but it sounds freeing to me. It sounds liberating to me. It sounds empowering to me. It sounds like, wow, Lord, thank you. I've got permission from you to give me and to give the grace that you've placed in me. I am thankful for that. You don't have to be established. Just be you. Brian's wife, Maureen, I'm picking on the Davises this morning. Maureen Davis, she came, I remember the first Sunday she came to our church years ago. She came holding the hand of her youngest daughter, and she came bearing a gift. Now, first of all, who visits a church and brings a housewarming gift? But she did. It was some little plaque that said, "Expect a miracle." It was in a nice little bag with a ribbon on it and stuff. I brought this. I'm thinking, I wasn't expecting you for dinner, you know, but she just came to church that way. Next Sunday, she was hanging it up over the doorway. Truth of the matter is, you know, they expect a miracle. Maureen was the miracle. She was one of those miracles. And, you know, she has been doing Maureen ever since I met her. She's still doing Maureen. She and Miss Evelyn were in here yesterday, tinkering around in the Sunday school, beautifying the place. If it looks beautiful, credit Miss Evelyn and credit Maureen. If it looks beautiful, it's because of them. Heavenly elves operating after hours, like that old Aesop's fable about the cobbler and the shoes. So the point is, not everybody should bring a housewarming gift. The point is, you don't need permission to give whatever gift you have. Now let me close with this, because you know, sometimes, and God knows this about us, we want to know what's in it for us. It's just how we are. And it's okay, because God has made it so that there are some things in it for us. And he spelled out what those things are. Because sometimes we feel like, oh, I just don't want to do the work. I just want to come. Can I just come and sit? I work 6 days a week. Can I just, oh, Lord. I don't need another job. I need a place to sit down. You know, I want to go to a place like the old song says, I'm going to a place where I can sit down. I don't want to be going to church and having people expecting me to just work. Oh, Lord, have mercy. That's okay. It's okay to feel that way. The Lord knew we would feel that way. And so there's grace. There is grace. There is grace for you to explore and to wait and to rest and to wait upon the Spirit of God to prompt you as to when, what, and how. There is grace. We have a number of members in our church, a number of members in our church who came to Valley Brook to rest. And when we talk, I say, you know what? Because now they're so wired to work that they come in and it's like, okay, what you want me to do? You know, and they're just like this. And I said, I just want you to sit and just relax. Don't do anything. Sit and relax and wait. See, all of this is under the auspices of the Spirit. And remember what I said about the rules? When you start trying to make the rules too hard and fast, it becomes legalistic and oppressive. You see, we can't, sometimes we hear a message and we think, I got to just do it just like that. And, you know, my own personal situation doesn't matter. But God cares not only about what we are doing, as I said to our leaders, he's not only caring about what we're doing, he cares about how we are doing. And sometimes there are other factors that are going on. We can talk to the Lord about those and sit and wait and ask him to help us to work it out. Or like I said last week, use one another. Say, right now, I'm just tired. Tell Grace. Tell John Wesley. Tell Michael. Don't tell Michael because he's like, get over it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. He has that inclination, but you know what? The Lord has worked on him. No kidding. Michael's one of the most compassionate men I know. I am not kidding. Don't let his get it done exterior fool you. He is one of the most sensitive, caring, loving, affectionate, generous people I know. And so I say that, but he will say that to you. I'm not kidding. So what's in it for you? Let me just give you real quickly, what's in it for you? Why should I be invested in both exploring before the Lord in my private time with him and then coming with an attitude of manifesting that stewardship and blessing others with it? Why should I? First of all, if this is your church home, this is your church home. This is your church, and you can make it a nicer place to be. You know, it's like that old song from, what was it, Claudine, "Make Yours a Happy Home." You have the opportunity to make your spiritual home a nicer place to be. You know, Laverne always brings nice things home. You know, I got up the other day and I was looking for the little cups on my vanity, and I had them just sitting there on the vanity, all stacked up, little Dixie cups. You know, and I come in and I'm looking for my little stack, and she's put them in this nice little container there. You know, I'm like, oh, that's nice. Thank you. Look at that. I'm looking at it. I like it. See, she always gets the right thing for just the right thing. You know, she gets the right thing for the right thing. Let me tell you, you are the right thing for this place. You are the right thing. And when you give you, then all of us are blessed by it. Oh, that's nice. Look at that. Wow. It ain't one person. It's all of us. And when we see the various pieces, we say, oh, look at how nice that is. That's nice. We like it. So it's your church home, and you're making your church a more pleasant place, not just for yourself, but also for other people. You know, we live here. We live here in Christ. This is our home. Secondly, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And the Lord just said that. The most miserable people in the world, as you know, are the people who are trying so much to make themselves happy. Ironically, the most restricted people, the most frustrated people, are people who only are thinking about how to make themselves better, make their lives, their own lives, richer. And even people who don't know the Lord come to a recognition that, you know what, it's better to give than to just be sitting around receiving, you know. And so they become what they call philanthropists. They want to give. I just don't want to hoard all this. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And one of my favorite verses, Proverbs 11:25, it says, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." What you give away multiplies. It comes back to you. You give joy to someone else, that joy boomerangs back to you. You give encouragement to someone else, that encouragement boomerangs back to you. It's more blessed to give. That's just how God set it up. Number three, it pleases the Lord. You know, because of Christ, we never need to fear God's condemnation. We never need to fear his judgment. We never need to fear his wrath. There's nothing you can do to make God love you less. There's nothing you can give to make him love you more. That condition has already been established and settled in Christ. And so you don't have to worry about, as we've been studying in Exodus, you don't have to worry about God becoming angry because you're not doing what you should have been doing. You don't have to worry about an earthquake opening up the earth and swallowing you. You don't have to worry about fire and smoke. Jesus took care of all of that. He took care of all of that by one sacrifice. He has made perfect forever those he's working on every day. That's what the verse is saying. It says he has made perfect forever those who are being sanctified. Being sanctified means he's working on you. So God has made perfect in his eyes and in his heart those that he's working on every day. So you don't have to worry about that. But we can please the Lord. He has given us the capacity. Think of it this way. We can't make him love us anymore or any less, but we can put a smile on his face. You can put a smile on his face. And that's why Paul says we have as our ambition to be pleasing to him. We're not pleasing him to earn his favor. We want to please him because we have his favor. We're not trying to get brownie points because we got all the points we're going to get. No, we're doing it because our Savior is pleased. And we put a smile on his face when we are good stewards of the grace that he's placed within us. He's given us that ability to put a smile on his face. And then number four, God will not forget. The scripture says it. God will not forget. It says he will not forget. This is Hebrews 6:10. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown. Listen to this. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people. Isn't that great? You are showing him love when you're helping his people. So he will not forget your work and the love you've shown him as you've helped his people and continue to help them, the scripture says. So the blessing of you is a blessing to him, and he will not forget. That little thing that you did that you forgot about, that you didn't think was anything, that someone else may come up to you one day and say, you know, that really touched me. That really blessed me. Or they may not. God will not forget. He will not forget. As we prayed together at the conclusion of our leaders meeting yesterday, it occurred to me as I was praying that, you know, I said to the group, I said, you know, I was praying, I really like the way we fit. I like our fit. I like how we fit together as a ministry. I like the way we fit together as members of one another. I like that. I like how God has woven and knitted us together. Strange fabric. But boy, he has woven it together into this beautiful, unlikely tapestry. And I like what he's doing. Knitting this glorious tapestry of the most unlikely elements. And you giving you, bringing your special delivery is a part of that process. It's a part of what he's weaving to make that tapestry more glorious. And I'm done.
Amen. Can we stand for our final song? This song, God is Good, we're going to sing it a couple of times. And then as you get used to the words, I want you to say them to your neighbor, these words to your neighbor. After you get it down, we're going to sing it three times. And the third time, find a neighbor and say it to them. Okay.
May your struggles keep you near the cross, and may your troubles show that you need God, and may your battles end the
And may your bad days prove that God is. May your struggles keep you near the cross. And may your troubles show that you need God. And may your battles end the way they should. And may your bad days prove that God, may your bad days prove that God is good. And may your bad days prove that God is good. Find somebody to say this to you. May your struggles, say it to your neighbor, keep you near the cross. Oh yes, may your troubles show that you need God. And may your battles end the way they should. And may your bad days prove that God is good. Bad days prove that God is singing that. And may your bad days. And may your bad days prove, not yet, that God. And may your whole life, your whole life prove that God. That last line again. And may your whole life prove that God is good. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sister. I got it. We're going to have our benediction, and then we're going to welcome our new members. We're going to cut the stream, and so please stay for just a few minutes just to say hello and to greet our new members after the benediction. Father, we thank you so much for blessing us with your goodness. Lord, we thank you for blessing us with one another. We thank you for the special wonders that you have created in each one of us. Lord, you have made us magnificent in Christ. If only we had eyes to see the miracle that we are. If only, Lord, we could possess how special we are, and that you would fill us with enthusiasm of sharing that by faith with one another. We thank you, Jesus, for your inspiration. We thank you for your Spirit giving us ideas and creativity and prompting us and guiding us and doing all kinds of things to help us to know that you are real and that you are with us. And now, Lord, we ask that the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would be with us now and forever. Let us all say amen. Amen. And so we will now, as we cut our stream, I'm going to introduce our new members. Have a seat for just a moment.